Hello, and welcome to This Thing Called Life, a podcast dedicated to sharing stories about acts of giving, kindness, compassion, and humanity. Your host, Andy Johnson, will introduce you to powerful stories about organ, eye, and tissue donation from individuals, families, and healthcare teams whose experiences will inspire you and remind you that while life is hard, unpredictable, and imperfect, it's also beautiful. We are so happy you're here. Now, let's join the show.
Welcome to This Thing Called Life. I'm your host, Andy Johnson, and I'm so excited to have you with us today. And I hope you are staying safe and healthy as we start off 2021. I have a really special guest with me today to talk about an aspect of what we do in the field of organ procurement organizations. The intent of this podcast is really to provide kind of a deeper dive and educate people about what organ procurement organizations do. And so we do talk a lot about the donation process, but we also talk about other topics that just keep us connected as people. But I also just really want to use this platform for people to learn more about what it is we do. It's so much more than the clinical aspect or the actual physical recovery of organs, eyes, and tissues for transplant. And so we're going to learn a little bit more about these different aspects from our guest today. So with that, I would love to welcome Ms. Betsy Morgan, who is the Donation Support Services Trainer here at Life Center Organ Donor Network. Hello, Betsy.
Hi, Andy. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. I'm happy to be here.
Yes. So let's start off by talking about what your role is here at Life Center.
Absolutely. So when I started in Life Center, it was 2015, and I joined to be a donation support specialist coordinator. So we actually approached people regarding tissue and eye donation, and then we're kind of the hub that take calls from nurses and work hand in hand with them to try to make the referral process easy or the best that we can. So the main part of the goal or of the job that I think is the most important is we do approach families during such a delicate time regarding tissue and eye donation. So that's the part that is tough, but it's very rewarding. So that would be what I would say is my main job, is to support families, mm-hmm. whether it be a decision that they're making for their loved one or a decision that their loved one has already made. So whether we're walking them through that process, mainly making sure that 100% of the time, the goal is to make them supported in that decision. Mm-hmm. So that's the main focus of the job. Of course, there's other avenues that we do or job things that we do. But one thing here at Life Center and within our department is the family is the focus. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's kind of the main bulk of what we do.
Right. So you said you've been here since 2015?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. What keeps you here?
Well, so I originally, before that, I was a nurse, a nurse manager. So I have that drive to help people. But you don't always have, it's not always, it is rewarding. But what I like here is, you know, we do talk to people in such difficult times that I never leave here feeling like I had a bad day because somebody else is having a worse day. So their bad day is still a good day for me. And my main thing that I like, that I think is so special about what we do, is there's so much bad in the world, but we get to see the good. So we see that every day. There are good people, and people make good decisions. They do think of others. They do want to help people. And I love being reminded of just the good that the world has to offer. So that, to me, is why I stay at Life Center. I think you do see that other places, but here I see it every day, and I have good days every day mm-hmm. compared to the people that I'm speaking with. So,
Right. So
it's very rewarding for me.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
You can tell that it's kind of personal for you in a lot
yes.
of ways.
And ironically, I don't have a personal connection to donation, but I have many connections to donation because mm-hmm. I think if you do this job and you truly do it right, you connect with so many families. So although I don't know them personally, they still hold like a dear spot in my heart because mm-hmm. I feel like it in some way I connected with them.
Right.
So although it's not personal, it hasn't impacted me or somebody that I love. Mm-hmm. It's impacted many people, you yeah. know, that I have gotten the opportunity to speak with. So, mm-hmm. so that does become personal.
Yeah.
If you do it right, it's definitely personal.
Yeah. So in working with I mean, so many families mm-hmm. that you've worked with over the years. Can you talk a little bit about, like you said, these folks, this is the worst day of yeah. their life. They have lost someone mm-hmm. very special to them. They're trying to navigate that while also honoring their loved one's decision mm-hmm. to be a donor. And so what are some words, phrases that you would, if yeah. you're telling listeners who want to offer condolences, like what are some things to say? Let's start yeah. there.
I think the biggest thing to overcome is sometimes there is nothing to say. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes people are so worried about saying the right thing mm-hmm. Or even doing the right thing. You know, sometimes all people want to know is that they're supported. Mm-hmm. And sometimes silence is a good thing. Just knowing I am here. Mm-hmm. I can't relate, but I'm present. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's tough for us sometimes in the donation communication center, is that we are on the phone and we want to just fill that silence. But sometimes just having a presence is important. Mm-hmm. You know, and there's not a right or wrong thing to say. Mm-hmm. We constantly adjust that based off of wherever that family is in their grief journey. One thing I never say is, I understand what you're going through. Certainly people go through similar situations, but it's never the same. And everybody's mm-hmm. so different that it doesn't matter how similar the situation is.
Right.
I can never understand how you feel or what you're going through,
right.
but I can try to be supportive of where you're at.
Right.
So I never say that. Different things. The main thing is just making sure that they feel heard. So sometimes it's just listening. You'll call a family and they want to speak about their loved ones and you just listen. Sometimes they don't, they want to get to the point. So it's really matching your family wherever they're at to try to determine, you know, what they need from us, mm-hmm. what kind of support they need. So there are many different things that you can say. But for me, I always want to offer my condolences. I want to make sure that they're in a good spot to have a conversation with me, because again, family being focused, getting them in a good spot
yeah.
that not only do they feel heard, but they also feel like they can listen to what we're going to talk about.
Right.
As donation is an important conversation, and you know, it's not for everybody, but I want right. them to have the right information to make a decision that they're comfortable with. Right. So however that conversation goes, as long as they feel heard and they're comfortable and supported, you know, at the end of that conversation, I feel like that's the goal.
Well, but it can be healing too for
absolutely.
A lot of families who have,
yeah.
who are going through this. Could you talk a little bit mm-hmm. about what gifts
yeah.
can be given as a tissue donor?
Absolutely. So this is something that I think is very weird, not weird, but it's different for everybody because, mm-hmm. you know, I was a floor nurse. I was a nurse manager. I came to Life Center. I knew about organ. I knew about, you know, eye and cornea, but I had no idea that somebody could help somebody so much. So that was like eye-opening for me.
Right.
I didn't know that you could give the gift of bone and soft tissue and help somebody truly walk or hold their child. I didn't know that you could give the gift of vascular tissue to help with cardiac bypass surgeries, because that success rate is so much higher than if they got an artificial valve. So it's just the way that somebody has and the opportunities that they have to truly impact so many other people goes yeah. beyond what I think my mind could even grasp
right.
until I truly was educated here at Life Center on all the ways that people can help.
Totally
so
agree.
So it's mind blowing the way technology allows it, that.
Yeah, the same. Yes. I felt the same way. I feel yes. like we're constantly learning, you know, new things, and mm-hmm. it is, technology is changing and people
yeah.
are just...
Yep, we're doing amazing things.
It really is. Yeah. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I've heard is sometimes people are, when you're talking to a family to just go through the process for
yeah.
their loved one to be a donor, sometimes people get a little put off by the med-soc.
Yes.
So yeah. I think this is a great time to talk about why
yeah.
that has to happen.
Yep. And it's a part that, you know, we don't enjoy putting families through all those questions.
Yeah.
It's definitely not the best part of it. Some families, we try to make it the best we can and make them feel supported.
Yeah.
So sometimes we laugh with families. They tell stories. Sometimes we cry with families. It's really about meeting
them where they are.
Yeah. And it's tough. Those questions yeah. are not easy questions to answer. And the first thing that I would ever say is that we do get that. Yeah. We wish that we could make it shorter. We wish we could condense it somehow. But what I say to families is that, you know, we know that these are not questions that anybody wants to answer.
Right.
And they're not easy to ask. But what we do is, you know, is something that we are giving these gifts to another person.
Right.
So we always want to err on the side of caution. We always want to be careful. You know, these gifts are going to somebody else's loved one.
Yeah.
And we do have to just be cautious with that. And sometimes these people are immunocompromised and different things. So when you look at, you know, the importance of what we do and how the gifts are going to be used, we do our best effort every time to make sure that those gifts are safe.
Yes.
And that's why the MedSearch is so important. And it is required. Right. It's truly, you know, when you talk about the bad part of the job, the regulations and, you know, all that, we are highly regulated, as we should be, because of what we do. So if I was on the receiving end, I want something that somebody truly took the time to make sure it is safe for me to receive.
Right.
So it's kind of a, when you're going through it, I know that it's definitely not fun and difficult.
Yes. I have to share this quick little story. I have a very good friend and her father passed away probably 5-6 years ago. And she said, Andy, when we had to do that MedSoch and they were asking these questions about, you know, my father, she's like, I just couldn't, like she said, I just couldn't believe it, you know? And so I was explaining to her, you know, the purpose for the questions. And yes, it's not, you know, it's personal. It's, you know, you don't want to, but you have to in order to ensure the safety, you know, of the tissue that'll be transplanted. And it's, you know, that's just part of the process, unfortunately.
And it is tough. And I will say that's something why we certainly can't shorten the process. We do try to make it the best for the family as we can. And some families do find it, they kind of enjoy it because it gives them an opportunity to talk about their loved one, to share stories. Right now, I'm very proud of our team. I think they do a wonderful job with families and walking them through that. So I'll hear them laughing with families talking about stories. So we do try to make it the best that we can, given the circumstances, and support that family. There's times I've talked to families where it can take 20 minutes and we're straight to the point. And there's times where, you know, I've talked to a wife for 3 hours. And she just, sometimes people just want to, they want to be heard and they want to talk, and we'll match whatever they want to do. So
one aspect that of what we do here as an organization, we do what we call a donor family recognition ceremony. Yeah. And the last couple of years, I think this is just awesome, is when donor families are actually able to meet the representative that they spoke to. So what is that? Have you participated in that?
I actually just told the story today. So I have a very unique story. And it's my favorite part of my whole entire journey here at Life Center. So we had a donor family ceremony. It was 2 years ago. This year with COVID, things are a little different. But there was a wife of a donor. Her name was Marie. Or Maria, and I was sitting there with my team. We kind of sit by ourselves and we sit together, and we're watching the ceremony, and there was this lady sitting up there by herself, and she was crying, and I just felt bad, and I was like, I need to go sit by her. And we didn't know each other, didn't know that we had a connection. So I got up and I sat by her, and I was like, this is either going to go really good, or she's going to be like, what are you doing? Don't try to hug me. But I sat by her, and I could tell that it meant a lot to her. She sat there, she cried, I cried, but I wanted her to feel supported. And I think that's the general concept of Life Center in general. But at the end of it, she told me about him. And, you know, I felt bad because we do speak to so many people. I didn't even put it together. And I was like, you know, let me get who you spoke with, and let's get you introduced. Let's make that connection. And she was telling me about the young lady that she spoke with. So I go back there, and I'm still kind of just in the moment with her, and emotionally in that moment with her, where I'm kind of tore up a little bit. And I was the family. I was the person she spoke to. So then we cried together. And so it was
very
rewarding. And now she asked about me at one of the picnics to Katie Wright. So Yeah. So I think that a lot of times the families will do more for you than you do for them.
Yeah. That's so true. I feel that way in working mm-hmm. with our ambassadors. I mean, it just like you, it really like your cup feels a little fuller.
Absolutely.
After being around them and just, it is. Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful feeling.
And it is. And it's like, for us, it's very important for us to always find connections because the job is hard. We do deal with death every day, but it's families like her that make you appreciate what you do. Yeah. So I wouldn't expect her to remember my name or anything, but she remembered parts of the conversation, you know, feeling supported, different things like that. So that made me feel like you do have a purpose. You are doing the job, you know, you are doing good. So I love that aspect of getting, when you get to make those connections and see families, and I've met other families too. I've had families give me hugs and different things. A couple years ago, I actually met a husband of a donor. And I remember talking to him and he walked me over, introduced me to his daughter. And, you know, this was the girl I told you about. So when families feel that way about you, again, not having a personal connection to donation, all that's personal. You feel you may never speak to them again, but you know somehow you impacted their journey, or maybe you made it better. You helped with their grief.
And that's a great reminder of how, you know, at the end of the day, there may be, you know, people may have different viewpoints or, you know, whatever, but we are all connected. And that's so important. And so for you and your team, don't know, you know, these folks don't see them because you're talking to them over the phone, which that's a whole other dynamic that I would imagine has to be challenging. But to be able to comfort people in their time of need, I think is just amazing. And it's, I think you all have a lot of compassion and just really believe in what you do. So is it tough talking, like, having those conversations over the phone versus
it definitely adds challenges. That was probably the hardest part of learning to approach over the phone for me, was I was used to having difficult conversations, but you're face to face. So you can pick up on kind of the cues or, you know, where are they at?
Right.
Over the phone, you're listening for verbal cues. You know, are there background noises? Just different things to make sure they're in a good spot. Mm-hmm. And that's where it's really important to really listen. Mm-hmm. And that's a sometimes hard for people to do. Mm-hmm. But, you know, just listening to where they're at. So again, grief has many stages. So if somebody gets on the phone and they're angry, matching where they're at, of course, you're not going to be angry. But, understanding.
You listen?
Yep, you just listen. And that, you know, I'm so sorry that you're going through this. Is there anything that I can do for you? We've made phone calls to other families. You know, we try to support them in whatever way. So it's not always, we're not just calling to discuss donation. Right. Our first goal always is to see, is there anything that you need from us? Mm-hmm. Not even just with Life Center, just as a person to person, how can we support you? Mm-hmm. And then we'll get to the reason, you know, here's why we're calling. Here's what we want to talk about. But we always want to make sure, you know, you're home safely. You have support. If you don't have support, is there anybody you want us to call, you know, offering our condolences? Mm-hmm. The family truly is always the focus before we even get to the conversation. So a lot of times, if the family's not in a good spot to listen to us, maybe we just talk to them for a minute and then we ask, you know, what is a good time for us to give you a call back, being time sensitive to the time frame that we do have to offer the donation opportunity. But listening for those cues. And of course, COVID's made things a little different. People are feeling more guilty. They're feeling more angry.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about that. How has that impacted?
Yeah. It does make it a little harder sometimes to build those connections with people. And it's not to their fault by no means. It's just people are having a tough time. So what kind of put it into perspective for me is my grandma was in the hospital and my mom is so used to being her support person. Mm-hmm. She couldn't be there. And of course, my grandma wasn't passing away or anything like that, like so many others are having to deal with. But my grandma was emotional. So my mom was emotional. And I thought I couldn't imagine, you know, not being able to be there or having visitor, you know, limitations where you can only have one person. Mm-hmm. So then you're their support person, but there's nobody supporting you. So people are feeling guilty. They're feeling guilty that they can't be there. And it does add a little bit of a different turn on things. But again, we're aware of that. So we know, you know, we, I think it makes us be, I don't know what the word would be, but we try to approach things a little different, be more understanding of where a family could be. So we know you're probably feeling guilty if you couldn't be there. So again, we really try to just make you feel supported. And again, while certainly we can't relate, we always want to just make sure we're matching the family wherever they are. Not where we expect them to be, because you just never know. You never know. And that's the hard part about the phone conversation, is you're truly going into it, you know, hoping for the best in the conversation. But you really can't have any expectations, because every person's different. Every person's grief journey is different. And there's really no black and white situation to that.
So as you were saying earlier, this, it is very emotional work. And so when you have a staff person who didn't have a positive experience or a positive call with a family, or just, you know, things happen. And I think too, the stress of COVID is just a whole other, adds a whole other layer to it. But how does, how do staff get what they need? Because again, this is emotionally taxing what you're doing.
I think, you know, I have to brag on Life Center, because I feel like from the start that I started at Life Center, you always have, you're surrounded by wonderful people. Life Center hires wonderful people. It takes wonderful people to do this job every day. So there's just a lot of good people that you're surrounded with. So I think it starts with just your general support system. You know, Bobby and Renee, Robert, they have done, which is our leadership team in the communication center, they've done a wonderful job at the interview process, making sure we have people who are positive, who are going to bring just, you know, good to our role. So our team is filled with some amazing people who are always supportive. They're more than coworkers. They're more like family. So there's just a very good, we try to make it the best environment. It's encouraging. It's supportive. But also we can relate to each other, so that, you know, nobody else really does what we do. You know, nobody in my family certainly can understand. And when I tell them what I do, they think that I'm, you know, crazy. What are you doing? You're calling families. And, but my coworkers understand that, you know, our love for the job, why we do, the rewarding aspect, as well as the emotional aspect. So I think really having that good support system within the company, you know, is really what gets us through it. We talk about cases, kind of like debrief on hard cases that we may have had, but we also allow, we know each other pretty well. So we're always like, let me, you know, take on more so that you can have a minute. Or maybe you need to go for a walk. So we just are constantly supporting each other. So I'm just really proud of the team that we have in general. And proud of the work that they do, you know, for the families as well. I think they're just some amazing, amazing people.
Well, and as a result of the work of donation support services, just with tissue donation, I believe in 2020, we did remarkably well. Which, you know, in spite of a pandemic, which I think speaks to the work that your team is doing. I mean,
and
that
I think
is,
I agree, Andy, it's really remarkable. And but I think that speaks volumes of our leadership team in creating such a good team. When a team feels supported and encouraged, I think they do better and they feel more confident. So when I took on the trainer role, that was my thing, is, you know, I can give you a script on how to approach a family that says to say all the right things or to do all the right things, but there's not a right or wrong way. So in training, I teach people, this is your conversation. This is your family. So yes, there's certain things we have to say and do, but you have to say what you believe in, and you have to be confident and have that passion for what you do. And that's your conversation. That's your family. I'm not speaking to them. You are. So what do you want to say? What do you want to
convey? I
think
that's such great advice, because what I'm hearing you say is you have to be your authentic self. You know, when you come into those conversations, you have to be.
And with speaking on the phone, people know when you don't believe in what you're kind of selling or what you're putting out there. And I know that way. When people, you know, insurance companies or something call you, it's just kind of, you know, but we're doing more than that. We're trying to advocate on behalf of people, you know, who need those gifts, as well as advocate for people who wanted to, you know, donate those gifts, or even support families who are making that decision on their own. So for us, it's you have to believe in what you're doing, mm-hmm. have that passion to speak and support families. Mm-hmm. And it's your conversation.
Yeah.
So what is important to you that you want to say?
Right.
How do you want to come across, or, you know, what's the message that you want to be heard? So I think it's interesting because everybody puts their own unique spin on what they want to say.
Yeah.
So people are doing, I think they're getting more confident with the conversation.
Yeah.
And people hear that. Right. People hear when you put your emotions out there and your passion out there for what you do,
right.
they hear that. And I think that that's, you know, important for what we do is that they hear that you know, we do care, that we're compassionate, and that we believe what we're saying.
Mm-hmm. So what would you say to a family? We're just starting the new year, the holidays mm-hmm. are over, and a family they're grieving. Yeah. It may be something very recent or not, but, you know, this is still, you know, we're still kind of in a dark time and, mm-hmm. and dealing with this pandemic and everything that has come out as a result of that. Like, what would be some words of encouragement that you could offer?
You know, my main thing is, you know, you will feel alone, and I wish I could say that you wouldn't, mm-hmm. but hopefully, you know, you're not. Mm-hmm. There's so many resources out there, even outside of Life Center. You know, don't ever feel like, you know, you can't reach out to somebody. Right. The world's super, you know, it's just in a weird place right now, but try to find a connection with somebody. Mm-hmm. Because having some type of support person, even if it's not family, if it's a friend, if it's a church member, finding a way to connect with somebody so that you have somebody to kind of talk to or to feel mm-hmm. supported. Mm-hmm. And then with Life Center involved too, that's one thing that I do stress to the families is we do more than just that conversation. So afterwards, we have a great aftercare.
Right.
So making sure that they know that this is, when we get off the phone, that's not it.
This isn't it.
This is not it. You have a whole new family if you want it. You know, so that support goes way farther than that donation conversation. And so for me, a lot of times when I do talk to families, I do try to explain that too, because it is important that they know that you are supported if that's what something that you need or you want. And it is remarkable to be surrounded by donation.
Yeah, it is like it is a family.
Families. Yes, and just the connections.
Yes.
And I think to see people who are grieving together, their interaction, they just feel better connected, better understood. So it creates a different feeling.
Yeah.
And to me, that's truly inspiring when you get people together and they feel connected.
Mm-hmm.
They have people who can understand more or they can relate to.
Right.
You know, find people who can relate to what you're going to right. or going through, and, you know, try to find a connection in some way would be my thing. And if you even donation not related,
right.
They could always even reach out to us. We have plenty of, you know, resources for grief.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of resources out there. So mm-hmm. just, you know, and it's not a right or wrong. You know, some people prefer to grieve, you know, alone, and that's fine too.
Yeah.
But if you need resources, you know, I would encourage people just to reach out.
Right.
Even again, donation not related, if they even reach out to us, you know, my staff's happy to try to give you resources. Mm-hmm. Our goal again is to support the community, support anybody who needs it.
Right.
So.
Right. Well, that's wonderful. So as we start to round out and close out our show today, part of what I do is I like to recognize mm-hmm. someone or a group and honor them. And so today's honor moment is for the Donation Support Services Department here at Life Center, because of the care and compassion that they provide to families at what is often mm-hmm. the worst day of their lives. So thank you, Betsy. Thank
Absolutely.
You to the Donation Support Services team. We truly do appreciate everything that you do to support families during that time. So I have a couple questions.
Sure.
Because I always like to do this just so that listeners can get to know who I'm talking to a little bit. So did you make a New Year's resolution?
I did. I made a few, but I didn't do like the normal one, like I'm going to lose weight.
Yeah.
So one thing I do like to do, Mine is truly, it sounds kind of like corny, but with the year in 2020, mine's to kind of simplify life, find out what I can control versus what I can't control and focus on those things. Mm-hmm. So I'm one of those people, I have to break it down and just define like the good. So my last year's New Year's resolution, and one I've kind of carried on, is to compliment 3 people every day. In 2020, that's been a little harder. And it's so, because I think everybody likes to hear a good thing. Yeah. So whether it's even somebody at a gas station, if you know, just say something kind.
Compliment 3 people.
Every day. Yep. And you'll be surprised at how the opportunities that you have to do that. Yeah. Of course, with the pandemic, sitting at home, there was not a whole lot of face-to-face interaction. So it can even be complimenting yourself, right? Or your toddler in my situation. But I feel like, you know, and right now, you know, things are crazy in the world. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, my 2021 resolution is just to bring good wherever that may be.
I love that. So that's very simple, but
yeah, I didn't set a specific one because typically I don't achieve those. So mine's very broad, but just to truly just bring good
right
wherever and whenever I can. And just to focus on myself. So I can't change other people, but I can change how I look at things and being positive.
Yes.
You know, and again, that comes back to the families that we speak to. They remind you the good. So it's, you know, if I can be like anybody, I want to be like them. I want to be somebody that makes other people see the good. So, so that would be my goal.
I like that. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. So thank you again for being with us. I know you are a busy woman and you're training new staff, but I think this was a great conversation for people to, I really hope that people can learn more about what it is that we do as mm-hmm. organ procurement organizations. So I think you gave some very good insight into how the process works in speaking with families about tissue and eye donation. So as we close out, mm-hmm. there are 108,119 men, women, and children in need of life-saving organ transplants in our country. And today, 20 people have died because they didn't receive a transplant in time. What can you do to help? You can register to be an organ, eye, and tissue donor, or consider being a living kidney donor, because the vast majority of those men, women, and children need a life-saving kidney transplant. Thank you so much for listening. Again, please be kind to yourself and to one another. Thanks.
This episode is brought to you by LifeCenter. Are you interested in saving someone's life by becoming a living donor? You have the potential to help save and enhance the lives of others, those who suffer from chronic illness or the effects of traumatic events. Statistics have shown that a new name is added to the national waiting list every 10 minutes. You have the opportunity to help others and save lives. You have the power to donate life. By offering a kidney or a portion of the liver, living donors offer their loved one or friend an alternative to waiting on the national transplant waiting list for an organ from a deceased donor. Today, the number of living donors is more than 7,300 per year, and 1 in 4 of these donors is not biologically related to the recipient. Go to Life Pass It On for more information. Thanks to LifeCenter for their continued support. Thank you for listening to This Thing Called Life. Subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get your favorite podcast to make sure you get updates on all new episodes. And we would truly appreciate it if you would share, like, or give us a review to help us grow.